Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Jason Meisner joins us on WGN. Jason, it's John. How are you? Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So your story in the Tribune today, we tried to reach out to you yesterday just as you were getting these unsealed Smollett documents. Before we get into what you read, what we've learned, can we just do a group think on the Smollett story for a second?
Sure.
And by that I mean, let's just make sure we all understand what happened. It goes something like this, right? That one day in January, 2 o'clock in the morning, he was walking over by that 7-Eleven, not too far from where I'm standing, down by the river. And he was, well, he said he was mugged by two people. He was the object of homophobic and racist slurs. He reported that to the police. The police did an investigation and eventually determined that the two knuckleheads that supposedly roughed him up were accomplices of his, people he paid money to stage the attack. Is that correct?
So far, yes, that is exactly right.
And if you're new to Chicago and if you've never heard this, I swear to God, this is all what happened. Do we know why he did that? Is it believed? I mean, I know you know what we think the motive was, but we don't have anything definitive since he's denying that the attack was staged. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's been all we have is what was alleged when he was charged, which is that he was trying to get attention to himself, further his career, and that he was upset. It was also alleged that he was upset that he had a letter he had received at the Empire Studio, a threatening letter, hadn't received the attention he wanted. They were implying that he sent it to himself. So for all those reasons, he enlisted his two buddies, these brothers, to stage this attack on himself on the coldest night of the year.
Yeah, it was like 14 degrees below zero.
What, right.
And what do you know? There were a couple of guys who were stalking him in River North, downtown Chicago. Okay, so the brothers left the country. When they came back, they were arrested. And it sounded like they were going to confess or did confess to the police that they had been bought. Is that correct?
Right. Yes. They had him in custody for up to the time where they had to either charge them or release them. And that's when Superintendent Eddie Johnson said they decided to cop to the whole story. And that's when the tables turned and Jussie Smollett was charged with this hoax.
So the charges were dropped, or they were never officially charged with a crime, when it sounded like they were going to turn on Smollett, right?
Right.
So then they're free and able to talk. I interviewed their attorney, for instance, on our show. I know members of our staff talked to them as well, the brothers particularly. And so then what happens? So now they're charging Jussie with all of this. And then kind of out of the blue, when the police superintendent and then Mayor Rahm Emanuel were inducting the largest class of police cadets into the force, there's an announcement, right?
Unexpected announcement that was not on the docket until earlier that morning, where Kim Fox's office, prosecutors who work for her, of course, Kim Fox had quote-unquote, recused herself from the case because of some contacts she had had with Smollett's family, but her office abruptly dropped the indictment, 16-count indictment against Smollett, which nobody saw coming, including Eddie Johnson and Rahm Emanuel, and that's when really all heck broke loose in this case, although it was a sensational case to begin with, but that just blew the lid off of everything.
Yeah. I don't know if she has plans to run for re-election, but boy, she just made it hard for herself, because that's going to be there every single day. So now talk about the documents then. So the documents that you read, what were they and why were they sealed?
Well, on the day the charges were dropped, it's state law. A defendant, when charges are dismissed against you, or if you're found not guilty, you have a right under the law to immediately have the case sealed. It's a relatively new law. And that's what he did. And there was no objection from prosecutors. And the judge, that at that moment, when everybody was still trying to figure out what the heck had just happened, sealed the case, supposedly forever. But
Why did the prosecutors not object? Could they have stopped that from happening?
I believe they could have objected. I'm not sure where that would have gone, what the reasoning for the objection would have been. But for whatever reason, they didn't at that moment. And the media came in and has been fighting for over a month now to get the seal lifted, which they were successful in yesterday. And that's why this case is now unsealed again. And we were able to go through it, although there was nothing really new in there. The case had been dismissed just weeks after it was brought. So it's not that there's going to be some bombshell in the court case.
Right. And the fascinating to me is the reason the judge said we'll unseal these documents, because smug Jesse Smollett and his attorney then are standing there afterwards when the charges were dropped, saying essentially Chicago owes us an apology. We didn't do anything wrong. It would have been a chance for him to sort of say, I made a drastic mistake, my bad, but he did quite the opposite. And it was that expression of innocence on his part that led the judge to say, I don't know if it's a violation of the terms or whatever, but the judge said that because you did that, we can release these documents. Is that correct?
Yeah, this publicity that they sought out, and it wasn't just Jussie, but also his lawyers, who for weeks afterwards were going on national TV or giving interviews, including to the Tribune. And there, he said that makes your argument for privacy moot, basically.
Sure.
He basically said the right to access, to public access, now trumps your right to privacy, because you basically gave up your privacy by going on TV and talking about your case.
Seems to me the lingering question was, why did the state's attorney's office fold? Was there anything in there that indicated the answer to that?
No. I mean, I'm not sure. They really didn't take a position on this. It was really a fight, court fight between the media and Jesse Smollett's attorneys, who wanted the seal to remain in place. The state's attorney's office took no position, but the interesting thing that's going to come out of this is now where we had been denied our Freedom of Information Act requests for documents because, you know, they cited, well, we can't turn it over because the case is sealed by judge's order. Now that seal is lifted, you can bet there was a flurry of FOIAs going to the state's attorney's office yesterday, and they have said that they plan to release more by, I believe it's a week from Monday.
Not just about the Smollett case per se, but about other cases as well?
No, it's about the Smollett case. The investigation, you know, what internal records there might be that might, maybe there's something on paper, we don't know, or communications that show how they reached a decision, the bombshell decision to drop the charges, because that has never been answered.
Right.
Kim Fox has given some explanation, but there have been many calls for her to come forward and explain the entire thing, and that has never happened.
Ah, but at least in this case, then, since there's been no privacy is out the window, maybe the state's attorney's office is going to have to be more forward with some internal documents.
Right. We have a list of all the exemptions that they claimed when they did turn over things through FOIA, but there was a lot of things that were exempted, and anything that was exempted because of this judge's order is now no longer, unless they come up with another reason to exempt it. They're working on it. They're going to turn some things over. We'll see what it is. I think June 3rd is the deadline. And also Chicago police, they had started to turn over detectives' reports and interviews, records of interviews, and then they stopped abruptly because they were told, you can't, because the case is sealed, and now they'll be able to turn more things over. So we'll see what comes out of this.
As I've said before, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. The Chicago Tribune's Jason Meisner doing the hard work over there. Nice to talk to you, Jason. Let's visit again. Thanks for following up on this story.
Thank you.
Have a good day.